Hey, you guys, what is up? Welcome back to the Gals on the Go podcast. It is me, Brooke, here today, and we have such an exciting episode. We are going to be talking with Lauren Berger, the intern queen, the career queen, about all things job related. I know it's a totally, totally strange time for the job market, especially with the pandemic, and just everything's kind of flipped upside down. I think a lot of people are needing a little bit of encouragement. So I'm so excited to be speaking with Lauren today. But before we hop into that, I wanted to do a little catch up with you guys. And first, we're starting off with our Black-owned business of the week. We're talking about Aya Paper Co. When founder and creative director Sivan Anderson began conceptualizing plans for Aya, the well-being of the earth was front of mind. As an advocate for environmental justice, she wanted to ensure that Aya Paper Co. didn't perpetuate issues like climate change and pollution, which disproportionately impact communities of color. Aya's collection is defined by neutral earth tones, minimalist illustrations, and modern typography. The collection emphasizes cards for everyday occasions, birthdays, congratulations, love, friendships, and sympathy. So I actually ordered the thank you note pack and a birthday card. So beautiful, you guys. I feel like this is like such high quality stationery. So if you guys are going to go to the store and like buy someone a birthday card, I definitely recommend supporting Aya Paper Co. They also have journals, pencils, candles, and the quality is so nice. And my order was packaged so beautifully. So if you guys want to check them out, you can go to Aya Paper Co. So it's AYAPaper.co. AyaPaper.co. And I know they have Instagram and all that stuff too. So definitely go support. And now we're going to hop into the highlights and lowlights.
Highlights and lowlights.
So for my lowlight, I don't know how to say this without being selfish, because it's not really me being selfish. It's more like awareness, I think so. I mean, I guess like a little selfish, because I think aren't we all a little selfish during this time? But feeling just strange, I guess, with the pandemic in general, I'm like on two different ends of this, because on one hand, I feel kind of guilty because I just moved to New York City and I feel like I'm not doing enough. Like I even got like a comment on my TikTok the other day. It was like, do you ever leave your apartment? And I was like thinking about it. I was like, damn, like, I guess I'm really not doing enough. But then I think about it on the other end and I'm like, no, I'm being smart. You know, it's a pandemic. I don't need to do anything too wild or too crazy. Not to say that I haven't like walked around. Of course I do. And I have also, you know, I would say like 1 to 2 times a week I outdoor dine. It's really not often. I do a lot of cooking or takeout. Still trying to support like local businesses as best as I can, but like getting it delivered, or I'll go and like pick it up or something. But I haven't really explored like other neighborhoods really besides my own. And even so, it's just really, you know, me walking around with a mask. So it's like the fine line of like, I feel guilty because I'm literally living in this amazing, amazing city and I feel like I need to be doing more, but also we're living through a pandemic and I feel guilty for even when I do things. So I'm in like a strange spot. But I wanted to say, this weekend while I was scrolling through Instagram, I saw Grace Atwood's post about restaurants, and basically I'll summarize it for you guys. It was like a picture of her at a restaurant and she was like, I'm so thankful for restaurant workers, because it really is the ultimate luxury to have someone make food, drinks, and clean up after you. And I thought about it and I was like, that is so true. I do dine out, like I said, probably 1 or 2 times a week now with New York and phase 4 and outdoor dining. I definitely like feel safe doing it. It's not really on that end. It's just more so like the guilt, like I said, for, you know, the employees, and for, I don't know. I would never want to like potentially spread this or whatever it may be. And I always do try to tip over 20%, and I'm so, so grateful for the employees. And I always, you know, I'm so, so thankful. But really seeing this post reminded me just how thankful I am for employees who are quite literally busting their ass, you know, putting their life on the line to serve me a meal. So I'm just so, so incredibly grateful. And, I wanted to kind of stress that, I guess, in the low light with that like fine line of, you know, going out and venturing into the world, but also staying in and staying safe. And I think that there is a way to, you know, kind of do it. And I'm thankful that, you know, that I live alone, because I can do those things. I feel like I can kind of go out and walk around the city and I don't have to, you know, feel super guilty that I'm like out, you know, doing anything too crazy. But it's a fine line. I think we're all trying to, you know, explore like what we feel comfortable with during these times. But for those of you asking, like what the city's like right now, I feel really safe here, honestly. Like I said, we're in, you know, phase 4, so we don't have indoor dining, but we have outdoor dining, but everyone wears their masks. I would say 90% of people on the streets are wearing a mask. And people take, you know, distancing really seriously. It's not really like large crowds of people, I would say. I think on like weekends, it could kind of get to that point, you know, with like the outdoor dining restaurants that are open. And I went to a park the other day and everyone like sits super far apart. You just like set out a little blanket or like walk around, whatever you choose to do. But the city honestly is a really good spot right now. I feel like totally comfortable here. And thank you guys all for, asking questions, I guess, on it. And my highlight kind of going off of that is that I truly feel so good in this space. Like I just didn't feel this way in my old apartment. I don't know if it was, it just never felt truly like homey, cozy, but like, I just love every square inch of this apartment. You know, it is the perfect size for me. I am so just like blessed to live in such a beautiful apartment like this. And so thankful, I guess, for every one of you guys obviously listening for providing me like this lifestyle. And just, I love it. Like I feel so safe too, which is something that I guess I never really felt in my old apartment. Like I would always wake up in the middle of the night in my old apartment and like be convinced that someone would be in there or whatever. Because it was like a larger building and it just, I don't know, it just nothing wrong with it. I definitely like loved my time there and it was another beautiful apartment, but here I really feel so secure and just like comfortable right now. I'm just like sitting on the couch and I'm just like looking out the window and I just like, I love it. I just feel so at home and comfy and cozy. And I feel like I've really, you know, made it my space in the best way possible. Another highlight is also that my mom came and visited me. She came for a few days last week and it was just nice. She just worked from home and I just got to spend some time with her. Always nice to spend time with some loved ones, but also enjoy the space that we have here. So yay. All right. Now for a favorite, also an NYC inspired treat.
These are a few of my favorite things.
We're talking about the Magnolia Bakery chocolate cake. So everyone, you might know Magnolia Bakery. They're famous for like their banana pudding. I am not a huge fan of banana pudding. It's just not my favorite food. But the other day I was feeling particularly sad. And I went on Uber Eats and I ordered from Magnolia Bakery. I got some cupcakes and a piece of cake. Roast me if you want. No, actually don't. But I think we all deserve to treat ourselves once in a while. And like I said, I was in a mood. This cake really just, the cupcakes were really good too, but the cake was like a golden cake with chocolate icing. Highly, highly recommend. I know a lot of you guys, and I posted on my Instagram story and a lot of people were like, oh, I like that, but you have to try this instead or like a different place. So if you have any NYC dessert places that I should check out, definitely hit me up with them. But yeah, it was delicious. And I think we all need to indulge and treat ourselves every once in a while. If I had like box cake mix, I literally would have like whipped myself up one, but I just didn't have anything. I also don't really have like, I'm still working on like getting my pantry staples intact here. Like I feel like I've been perpetually like, you know, ordering groceries every week, but I don't have like the basic, like I don't have sugar or flour or any of that stuff. So I feel like I just have, you know, my proteins and my vegetables and stuff in the fridge. I say as I'm drinking a green smoothie that I just made myself. I'm really proud of myself, you guys. I've been trying to get back on that health and fitness lifestyle. I say as I just ordered a cake, but it's all about balance, isn't it? Oh, and if you're heading to my DMs to tell me your favorite NYC dessert establishment, follow me on Instagram. I'm almost at 100K, which is a huge number. It's been a steady climb for me, but I'm so thankful. And just throw me a follow. It's at Brooke Michio, MICCIO. And today I'm so excited. Like I said, we have Miss Lauren Berger, the intern queen, career queen, overall career expert. She's joining us to talk about job hunting in a pandemic, layoffs, working from home, what the heck to do if you just graduated college and more. It's truly jam packed with some quality tips that I even took some stuff away from when it comes to like my business. So definitely listen closely and enjoy, you guys. Love you. I think that we can all, to some extent, feel a little guilty of resisting change sometimes or holding on to maybe someone in your life that you should maybe let go of. But for example, take your toothbrush. What's changed in the last 100 years? There's a handle, there's some bristles, and really not much else. So what's wrong with using the same old manual toothbrush? Nothing at all, unless you think that something's wrong with staying put while the world moves ahead. Because while the manual toothbrush hasn't changed much, electric brushes have truly changed the game. I love a good electric toothbrush. toothbrush. And nowadays, there's no reason to not get dentist quality clean every day. Meet Brush, the modern electric toothbrush that keeps your teeth cleaner and fresher, all while being kind to your wallet. Brush is also the sound your mouth makes while your teeth are scrubbed at 31,000 brush movements a minute, 100 times faster than manual brushing. Brush gives you a dentist quality clean in just 2 minutes without that costly markup that other brands add. And it has a super sleek design, stylish colors. It's truly like a beautiful brush. It's the type to be like, I have found the one. Like I said, just a super sleek, clean toothbrush. So if you guys are in the market, this is something that I would highly recommend trying. And if you are still using a manual toothbrush, wake up. You gotta use an electric one. I'm telling you, they changed the game. With a 90-day risk-free return period, hundreds of 5-star reviews, and a 2-year warranty, there's no need to take my word for it. Why not just try it for yourself? They've advanced features you'll love, like 6 unique cleaning modes, a smart timer, magnetic USB-powered charging station, and a sleek carrying case if you're traveling, but you know, we're in COVID times. And with every brush head refill shipped, Brush takes care of a mouth in need through their 1-for-1 oral care give back partnership with A Reason to Smile. But be warned, a brush this good doesn't just clean your teeth, it also steals your heart. Oh, we love that. So get 15% off your Brush kit when you use the promo code GALSONTHEGO at Brush.com. That's Brush.com and use the promo code GALSONTHEGO. Okay, guys, I'm so excited. I'm sitting here now with Lauren. Hi, Lauren. How are you?
Hi, good. Thanks for having me. Last time we were in person and at UGA.
I know. And that feels, it really was forever ago. That was quite a long time. That was like 2 years nearly.
Yeah, I think like a year and a half. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Well, welcome back. We are so excited to have you here today. I feel like this is such a interesting time to kind of discuss the job market, all things work related. I'm sure you've seen a lot of interesting changes on your end.
Yes, definitely. We're all in this together.
Okay, so let's start with, I asked you guys on my Instagram just for like general topics of like what you would want to hear, because we have the career queen, intern queen herself here. But first off, pandemic kind of like affecting the job market. I'm sure that you've seen, you know, I know tons of my friends that have been furloughed, laid off, or just positions just terminated in general. So I guess kind of with this job loss, if you've like, I mean, I feel my heart goes out to all of these people who have been so affected by it, but what advice would you give to those people, you know, how to cope, move on, upwards, stuff like that?
Yeah. So I would say, first of all, like, we hear you, we see you, and we know that it's tough, right? Regardless of who you are and where you come from and your background and all of that, everyone is having a tough time right now. And so my thoughts are with everybody. I think first and foremost, everyone needs to focus on their mental health and, you know, doing whatever you can to stay really positive during this challenging time. I would say, number one, give yourself a break. We're all goal oriented. I'm sure a lot of your podcast listeners are super ambitious. If you were giving yourself 3 months to get a job, give yourself 6 months to get that job. You know, if you were going to leave your job because you're not that happy in the next 2 months, maybe consider leaving it in the next 4 months. So I would say give yourself sort of double the time that you would have to just kind of get it together, because it is really challenging right now. I would say too, there are some positive things that have come from this, or there are some opportunities that have come from this. Mm-hmm. A lot of jobs are now open to virtual candidates. I was talking to a friend in Denver the other day who was looking for a social media job, and 6 months ago, her search would have been limited to the Denver area, but now she's applying for jobs in New York City. So a lot of jobs that currently would not have taken virtual applicants are now looking for virtual applicants. And the same thing goes on the internship side. We're about to open our search for our fall 2020 intern. And normally we used to do virtual interns. Then we said, okay, we're only going to do interns in LA where we're based. But now with everything going on, we're not going back to the office anytime soon. We can hire a virtual candidate. So there is an accessibility factor that's really interesting here. And the other thing I want to say about accessibility, and then we'll get more into this stuff later, is there's so many great events that are now online. We do our famous intern queen party, which I know you've been to a few years. Every year it's in New York City, and last year it was at 7 different cities around the country. But this year we did it online. We had a huge turnout, larger than it would have been in any given city. And so many students got to attend from not only states around the US, but also places around the world. And so, and it was a free event. And that's just one event. If you guys go to sites like Eventbrite, you're going to read about so many different professional networking events that you can attend that are super low cost or free. And again, those events would have been closed off to you in the past because they would have been in some random city that you don't live in. Mm-hmm. So I think there is an opportunity here, especially with the accessibility factor.
That's a great point. I didn't even think about, yeah, because all of these jobs now I feel like are remote. I haven't heard of anybody that's actually interned in person. I feel like all of the college students that I know that just finished internships, they were all moved to online, which obviously has its challenges. So like kind of going off of that, I guess for those people who are now shifting to online work, of course, we've been doing it for a few months now, but if maybe you're just accepting a role or something, what are your best tips for working remotely, working kind of from distance in your home, I guess just practical tips that people could take, you know, if they have to shift their whole life around, I guess, and be productive at home.
Yeah, absolutely. So the two tips I'll share. So I think one is like, don't let the screen demotivate you, right? Just because there's a screen in front of you and you're not in front of someone in person doesn't mean that you can't build a real relationship with someone. And so if you were in person, maybe you would set some networking like coffees, right, with different executives to get to know them. You can still do that sort of thing. And it can be on Zoom, it can be on the phone, it doesn't matter. But don't let the screen demotivate you, right? And if you catch yourself making excuses for why you can't build strong relationships within your team, it's on Zoom, it's not the same, yada, yada. That's when you need to remind yourself that you cannot let the screen get in your way. So make sure to continue to set up those informational interviews and coffees and phone calls, mm-hmm. even though it's a virtual environment. And the other is just make sure that you're using whatever tool the company is communicating on. My company uses Slack, which is like an instant messenger tool. I'm sure some of your audience is starting to get familiar with that too. If you're using Slack or GChat or Skype or Zoom or whatever it might be, just make sure you're using that tool to ask questions. Like working virtually doesn't mean you get to assume how every assignment is going to be done, because if you assume, you're going to get it wrong. My first boss, when I had a real job right after college, she said, assumptions lead to F-ups, right, is what she said. And that always stuck to me, that assumptions lead to mistakes. So if you're assuming that you know how to do a task, you probably don't know how to do the task. So make sure you're using the communication tools provided to ask questions so that, you know, hopefully you get the assignment right. So don't be afraid to ask questions just because you're over, you know, some sort of virtual technology.
Okay, so a lot of people have been wondering kind of what methods, I guess, to get a job right now. Essentially, it's definitely like a really, obviously it's a, we have a lot of other circumstances going on that are definitely way more important than just like a job per se. But, you know, industries that are working right now that people could kind of get their foot in the door, or just the best ways to go about getting a job in general. I feel like you're the CEO of this, so let's hear your
Absolutely.
Tips.
So I'd recommend, first of all, go to LinkedIn. Because on LinkedIn, under my network and my notifications, it's going to tell you everybody in your network that has recently gotten a new job. And I think not only is that going to be inspirational for you, but it's also going to tell you what companies are hiring and promoting people during this time. And I would take note of those companies and I would consider applying to work at those companies. The other note is, I encourage you to think about what you're spending your money on and what your friends are spending your money on. So for example, my friends, they're all talking about Peloton bikes. I've never had so much peer pressure to buy a Peloton. I haven't done it yet, but I've never had so much pressure in my life. And they're doing all of these food delivery services, right? I mean, they are doing like the Uber Eats of the world, but then they're also doing Blue Apron and Daily Harvest and companies like that. And so those are the companies that people are thinking about spending money on right now. Mm-hmm. So those are the companies that I would consider working for. So if you used to be someone that wanted to go into high-end fashion, I don't know, you know, the high-end fashion world is really tough right now, but I would encourage you to consider, again, companies like Peloton or these food delivery services or some of this like, you know, some of the trendy fashion smaller companies that are popping up on Instagram that are selling loungewear, right? Whatever people are spending on, those are the companies that you really want to look at.
Yeah, definitely. I know it's some industries right now are hit especially hard. So that's a great way of thinking about it. Besides, I guess, just going out, and obviously people are applying for jobs, but let's just say, you know, you're one of these people who's like, I apply for, you know, X amount of jobs every day. What else can I do to kind of stand out? What else can I be spending my time doing? Is it, you know, you're a student of something else? Maybe you're taking an online course. Like, what advice would you give to someone who's looking to improve their resume?
Yeah, yeah. So we had our intern queen party recently, and a lot of our speakers talked about using this time wisely to really enhance your own skills, just professionally speaking. And so I think that could be everything from, again, it can be professional. It could be taking a social media course or taking some sort of marketing certification online, or it could be something for you personally, like taking a calligraphy class over Zoom, right? It doesn't all have to be for the job, but I actually taught a course a couple years ago with a website that's popular called Britt & Co, like B-R-I-T, okay. Britt & Co. And they have a lot of really low cost classes. I think they're like under $40, and they have classes on everything. I think the ones that I taught were, of course, on the career search or like fixing up your resume. But check out the classes on Britt & Co because they have a lot to choose from. And again, they're really low cost. And I think they're offering a lot of specials and deals right now. I've also heard about a lot of people doing courses on LinkedIn, also courses on Google. You can get certified in like all of the G Suite, the Google products.
Yep.
So check those things out right now because it is really interesting. And then earlier I talked about attending free events. I think that's really, really big. And everyone has had to go virtual. Everyone's had to go digital. So take advantage of that for sure.
Yeah, that's great. I remember when I was in college, one of my classes was required to do the like Google ad certification. But that, like things like that, I remember in interviews, people would be like, wow, that's really cool that you have that. And I was like, oh yeah, it was required for my class.
But yeah, that's something that I want to look into and do now. I feel like Google AdWords is like, it's the thing that you understand, but you don't understand.
I took the class and I still don't fully understand. It's definitely like a whole nother world. But you hear about all those people who do like, I always get like the video ads of them, like they freelance and they do like either Facebook ads or Google AdWords or any of those
right.
really cool things that you could totally teach yourself.
Yeah.
And all it requires is a computer and no, like you don't need to be a coder or anything like that.
Right.
It's really just putting the work in, I guess.
Yeah.
Another just like sidebar question for a lot of people who are post grads. And I even saw this as a trend when I was applying for jobs. A lot of these like quote entry level jobs that people are applying for say that they require some absurd amount of experience, like 2 years.
Right. 12 years, you know. Experience.
Yeah. Yeah. The experience that people just don't have. So my question, I guess, on behalf of everybody is can recent college grads still apply for those? Is it still relevant? And how to like get around that as an obstacle?
Yes. I mean, I think that you're going to see some variation in that. I mean, I guess there's a difference, right, between a job saying they want 2 years of experience versus 12 years of experience. Yeah. And right. And so, and that should sort of help manage your expectations when you're applying for things. Like if you read about a job and you're like, this is so cool, but they say they want 12 years of experience, you can go for it. I mean, I'm always going to be the one that says, go for it, right? Shoot for the stars. You can apply, but I would manage your own expectations that there's probably like a 5% chance that that's going to happen. If you're a recent grad and it says 2 to 3 years of experience, though, I would just ask yourself, you know, do you have any relevant experience? And if you do have experience, even through your college clubs or your sorority or through different internships, I mean, if I were you, I would spin it, right? I'd be like, well, I have experience. It might not be directly out of college, but it's still really valuable experience. And here's why. So I would say definitely apply for those jobs and just really, you know, step up to the challenge of selling yourself and really explaining to an employer not what you don't have, but what you do have. Whenever I meet students or speak with them, very frequently they'll come up to me and say, well, I don't have any experience, but I really want to apply for this. And I really push them to flip the script. Okay, you just told me why I shouldn't hire you. Like, tell me why I should hire you. You know, what do you have that does make sense? So I would say always go for it. And then one more note on that. A company is coming up with a job listing. They're putting together their ideal candidate, or what they think their ideal candidate is. They don't know that they're going to get that person, right? They're just putting it out there. And so, again, I do encourage you to apply for those things, especially if you feel like there's a solid connection between your previous experience and what the position is looking for. And just make sure you really speak to that, both on your resume and in the interview.
I love that. That's a great point there. Would you say, like, for these people who did recently graduate, like, have you, I guess, have you seen the job market? Is it a tough time to be a recent grad? I don't know. I feel like I hear from all these people who are year younger than me, and they're like, it's so tough right now, Brooke. Like, it is just a challenge in general. Like, what words do you have to say to recent grads?
Yes. I think, is it a challenge? Yes. Right. I feel like even for those of us who aren't in the job market right now, we can only imagine what that's like. Mm-hmm. So I think, yes, it's challenging, but to give everyone listening some motivation, I am hearing about people getting jobs every day. I have two websites, Intern Queen and Career Queen, and careerqueen.com is for folks that have already graduated. And we just had a student a couple days ago from Arizona State that worked with us a lot when she was in college. And she just landed a company at a marketing company in Scottsdale. She graduated from ASU. Awesome. And her name is Lauren also. And I was like, Lauren, this is huge. Like, you have to tell me about this. And so we literally just we had her do a whole blog on how she got hired during the pandemic, because it is so interesting. And I encourage everybody that has friends that are getting hired during this time, ask them like what their path was like. Ask them to share that story with you, because you might grab some tips and tricks from it that you didn't think about. A friend told me that she recently had an interview in the public health sector, and she said at the interview, it was on Zoom, but she was at home and all of the people she was interviewing with were in an office together, and they were, it was at a hospital, and they were all sitting around a table with masks on. And she said it was so hard to tell who was who, and she wasn't exactly sure who was in the meeting. And so she wanted to send a thank you card, but she was like, I don't know who those people are, and I can't identify them because of the masks. So her tip, and she was like, you need to share this, was make sure that if you're doing these Zoom conversations, at the beginning of the call, make sure to do introductions and to like write people's names down. And that way you can follow up and send that thank you card. I thought that was a good tip, especially if people are wearing masks in the interview.
Yeah, that's a huge tip. Gals on the Go is supported by BetterHelp Online Counseling. If you are struggling with anxiety or depression or stress right now, you are not alone. BetterHelp offers online licensed professional counselors who are trained to listen and give help. Counselors specialize in many diverse areas, including depression, grief, anxiety, and relationship conflicts. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs and get matched with a counselor in under 48 hours. You can talk with your counselor in a safe and private online environment at your convenience from wherever you're comfortable. You can easily schedule secure video or phone sessions with your therapist, plus exchange unlimited messages, and everything you share is confidential. If for any reason you're unhappy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time at no additional charge. So join the million plus people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp professional. With so many people using BetterHelp, they're actually currently recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So BetterHelp is definitely an affordable option, and our listeners get 10% off your first month with the discount code GALS. Get started today at betterhelp.com/gals. That's betterhelp.com/gals. Kind of piggybacking off of that, for people who are applying to jobs right now, a lot of questions on like the resume and the cover letter. I know we've kind of like discussed this before in like content that we've made together, but what would you say is your best tip for each to stand out if you're just, you know, applying for jobs? Like, what, I guess, give me a solid resume tip and give me a solid cover letter.
Yeah. I think for the resume, most of my tips have to do with moving stuff around. And so my big tip for everybody listening is just use your real estate wisely. Like, you have one sheet of paper, that's all you got. So make sure to use it wisely. If it's a creative resume, fine. Just use your space wisely. If you have a huge, you know, piece of white space on your resume, my question to you is going to be, are you sure there's not anything else you want to put here? Right? You don't want to overdo it, but you want to use that space wisely, and you want to make sure you're focusing and really expanding on the things that are the most relevant for the position. In terms of the cover letter, I would say you really have to use the cover letter to connect the dots for the employer. A lot of people make the mistake of making the cover letter all about them. And they almost like list out their traits. I think we've all been guilty of this. It's like, I am great. I am wonderful. I am smart. I have a great work ethic. I'm effective and efficient, all the things. But why does that matter for the employer, right? So instead of just making a list of the great things about yourself, I encourage you to connect the dots for the employer and connect your experiences to what that company says they're looking for in the internship or job posting.
That's great. And then for cover letters, a lot of people are like, can I reuse my cover letters? How do I get started with one? Do you recommend like starting with a prompt online, I guess, if people are just starting from scratch?
Yeah. So I have on the Intern Queen YouTube channel. So it's just youtube.com/internqueen. And Brooke and I have collabed on there. I think that was the first thing we ever did together years ago. But I have a cover letter tutorial video, so definitely check it out. Just put in cover letter and intern queen on YouTube, and I have a whole video on it. To answer your question about can you reuse them, yes, you can totally reuse them, but I would say take the 2 to 5 minutes to kind of customize each cover letter before it goes out. Mm-hmm. A company can tell within 2 seconds if they're reading a cover letter that was made for them or a cover letter that was made for everybody. And you want to make people like to feel special. You want to make them feel special. So put the name of their company in the cover letter. Pull out that internship or job listing. Make sure you're using some of the buzzwords that they're using in the job listing in your cover letter to sort of talk about why you're the person for the position. So take the time to customize it, and then you can use that same template for a lot of different companies.
And if it's optional, like I saw that a lot when I applied, you know, like optional cover letter, I would assume you always encourage.
I would do it. You know, it's split. Again, at the Intern Queen party, we had, I think, 6 different executives. And I think 4 out of the 6 said they hate cover letters, won't look at them. But 2 of them said they won't look at anything without a cover letter. So wow. I think, you know, if someone's going to ignore your cover letter, fine, at least you had one. But like, what if they love a cover letter, right? So yeah. I would be, it's sort of an executive to executive thing. So I would just have that cover letter, and that way you're ready to go just in case.
Good tip. We had a lot of specifically females, I think, write in about salary, because I think this is like a really big thing that's kind of unfortunately become taboo, you know, sharing what you make. And I understand it's tough, obviously, and industry to industry, it's different.
Yeah.
But I guess kind of determining your salary and determining a suitable salary for your industry, where should someone start with something like that? Because of course we want to make sure, you know, you're getting compensated fairly to someone who's doing equal work to you. And I think that's tough when a lot of people don't talk about it and you don't, you know, negotiate up, like you can kind of be getting, for lack of a better phrase, ripped off. And it sucks when people figure that out a little too late, I think.
Right.
So kind of in transparency with all of that, if someone's just like, I want to make sure that I'm like getting paid fairly, how do you determine that?
Yeah. So a couple notes on this. I think in terms of how to determine if you're getting paid fairly, you know, there are websites out there like Glassdoor that can help. However, I have to say, I've seen websites like Glassdoor be really off in terms mm-hmm. of just mismanaging people's expectations of salary. I think the best thing you can probably do is asking friends. Again, you don't have to say what do you make, right? But you can say things like,
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, but you can say things like, is there a range that I should be looking for at this type of company within this specific industry? So if you have a friend that works in marketing, you can certainly ask them what that range should be for someone with your skill level, right? Which is either right after college or maybe 2 years, 3 years after college. But then I think the other thing you have to look at is you have to look at the company size. And it's interesting. Sometimes really big companies have pretty small salaries for all of their departments, right? Like, again, I don't necessarily want to throw out like specific company names, but there are some really big companies where you hear what people make and you think, oh, you would think at this company you'd be making this, and you're not. Okay. So it is interesting. But I would definitely look at company size, because there's a difference in what, I mean, my company is 10 people or less, right? There's a, I mean, we can only pay people so much. At larger companies that have a larger size, a larger structure, they can probably afford to pay a lot more depending on what the position is and what budget it's tied to. So I would just ask people, I would ask real people that you know that work in similar industries and similar sized companies. I think people forget about the similar sized companies piece. And I do think that's important, whether it's a small, medium, or large business that you're going into. And I would also ask questions like, it's not just about the salary. It's also like, well, how likely are they to promote people that come in entry level? How long does it usually take for them to promote people? What does that salary jump look like when you get promoted from this to this? And again, at certain companies, it's all kind of set out for you. My brother works for a big consulting firm in New York. And at his company, it's pretty well known throughout the company, like what the different levels are, what you need to do to get from point A to point B, and what the different salary jumps are. I know a lot of PR agencies are like that also. It's like, if you're a junior account manager, you're going to be within this range. If you're a senior account manager, within this range. So again, it will vary from company to company and industry to industry. Someone asked me recently, do I negotiate in the interview process? And
I was about to ask that.
Yeah, my advice on this has gone back and forth over the years, but I think that just because I've been in the employer's seat so much, over the past 10 years, I would say get the job offer first. Let them fall in love with you, right? Like, let them fall in love with you. You can ask what the range is, but I would just like get the offer. And then once you have the offer, I think that's when you have a little bit of leverage, right? To come back and to ask for more money. And I would say, no matter what the offer is, I would always go back and I would always ask for more. And normally, maybe normally is not the right word, but companies should be prepared for people to negotiate, and they should usually come in with their first offer a little bit under what they can actually pay you. And that way there's a little bit of wiggle room, because you want to make employees feel like they have that little bit of wiggle room. So, I would say don't negotiate until you get the offer, because once you get the offer, it's kind of a sign that they like you. They want to work with you, right? Whereas in the interview phase, you don't really know where you stand yet. So I think negotiating sometimes can hurt you.
They could just be like, oh, we'll just go with the other applicant. You know, they'll take our base rate or whatever.
Right. And I actually had a situation where I was interviewing someone and I really liked them. And then at some part in the interview, they asked me what the salary was. And I told them what the salary was, and their face just fell. And we were in person, and it was so awkward, because she clearly was not happy with the salary range that I told her. And it just became so uncomfortable, and you don't forget those feelings of how uncomfortable you are. And I wish she hadn't done that, because if she would have waited until the interview was done, I probably would have offered her the job. And then if she negotiated, I may have been open to it, because she was really impressive. But because she just had this look of disgust on her face when I said the salary range, I'll just never forget that. That interaction. So I really think, you know, try to stay positive. A lot of business owners, especially small business owners, I can speak for myself, are sort of proud of what they can pay people, right? Because it's been a long journey, or whatever the backstory is. And so when you meet someone and they're so unimpressed by it, it does create this sort of awkward situation. So I would just say, stay positive. You know, if it's not for you, you won't accept the offer. And that would be some of my salary negotiation advice.
Awesome. Yeah. So wait until the end. I hope that you guys are all staying protected with Carefree Breathe. Carefree Breathe offers a line of skin-friendly pads and panty liners that go beyond leak protection to keep your skin dry and irritation-free. They provide irritation-free protection in your most sensitive area. It's clinically tested by dermatologists, free from fragrances, dyes, harsh irritants, and they have this soft touch feel which helps keep your skin dry. This is really important, you guys, because irritation can be caused by multiple reasons, and most of the time it's harsh irritants or wetness. So if you're like staying dry and you you don't have anything down there, you're in the clear. And that's why I love Carefree Breathe, because it keeps me protected on really all of my days, because I use their ultra thin pad with wings when I need more of a protection. And then on my lighter days, or if I just like want a little bit of protection just to be safe, I use just a regular panty liner. Carefree Breathe is great, and I definitely recommend it if you're looking for just an extra way to stay protected, or just in lieu of everything else altogether. So for more information or to buy, check it out on Amazon or Walmart.com, or you can find it at your local grocery store or CVS. When it comes to promotions and things like that too, is that an acceptable time to kind of review salary, or when is acceptable times to kind of go over it? Because it's not really something like you're working at the company for 2 months and you could, you know, request.
Right. So here's what I would say. I would actually say when you accept the offer at a company, I would try to find a way to ask about the next steps. You know, it's also maybe you're in a training session or something. You could even phrase it like, you know, I'm really excited about this position. As I look to grow my career within this company, what are the things that you look for? Like, what are the benchmarks that I should have top of mind as I, you know, not right away, but over the next year or so, as I try to get from my position to the next step, and let the company lay it out for you. I love when our team members ask me about the next step and what's required to get there, because it gives me an opportunity to help them build a roadmap to sort of guide them. So I would try to identify, like, from day one, what it's going to take for you to get to the next level without coming across as sort of entitled that you're going to get to the next level tomorrow, right? You want to make it clear that that's not what you're saying. And then I would say whenever there's an evaluation at your company, depending on how frequently they do it, I think those are great times to just explain that you do have your sights set on that next position and to ask what's required. I think a mistake people make is sort of assuming that they're ready and assuming that they're there. So I would always phrase it more as a question. And then people will know that you have, manager or director positions on your mind, and I think they respect that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think, like, I know my brief work experience, I feel like I noticed the people who were really ambitious were the ones who were, it was very clear, you know, they were setting the meetings with the people who were higher up, or they were expressing, you know, interest in like seeking more responsibility, like whatever it may be. So I totally.
Right. I like what you just said, actually, that they make it very clear. I think you're right, because a lot of people, especially if people aren't doing that great of a job sometimes, I think as an employer, as a supervisor, you wonder, like, do they even like this job? Are they just here to pay the bills? Like, do they want to get promoted? So it is important to be really clear and intentional at work and in these interactions, because people should know what you want. Even if it's a raise, I've had team members say, well, I want to make, my goal, just so you know, is I want to make this amount of money by, this age or this year or whatever it is. So if you have any advice for me on how I can get there, let me know. And again, I don't think you can do that at every company, but I think especially if you're at a small or medium sized company, sometimes depending on the relationships, you can have those conversations. And I always appreciate it, because it's good for planning purposes and it's good to know what your people want.
Yeah, that's a great point there. Well, I think that's really it for that conversation. I do have another segment that I want to do with you, like kind of more rapid fire questions, but, I feel like we wrapped everything up, you know, pandemic talk, salary tips, and a little bit of motivation. I mean, I feel motivated. I'm not looking for a job right now. I feel like I always feel motivated after I talk to you. So,
good.
I love that. Okay. So like I said, I talked to you guys on Instagram and just asked you. So Lauren, these are more, you know, I mean, you don't have to respond, obviously, super, super fast, but they're more simplistic questions, at least in my opinion, I guess. How long after starting your first job or a job would it be acceptable to leave? And I guess that's not necessarily like the best like mindset to frame, you know, oh, I just started, like, how long until I can quit? But let's just say it's not the right fit for someone. They're not happy. You know, what would you say is an acceptable timeline there?
I'm a little bit old fashioned in my response here. I would say that you try to stay for a year, but if you are really unhappy or miserable, I think you got to leave, right? I think you just have to leave, because again, mental health is so important right now. And it's so challenging given the times that I think if you're truly, if you would use the word miserable to describe yourself at work, I think you should just leave. right? Because no one has time to be that unhappy. Obviously, if there's financial constraints and you can't, you'll do what you need to do. But I would say if you're miserable, try to get out as soon as you can. If you're uncomfortable and something inappropriate is happening, you got to get the heck out of there and you got to say something quickly. In my dream world, someone would stay for at least a year.
Gotcha. Okay. Our websites, we kind of touched on like Glassdoor, Indeed. Do you believe that they are beneficial and do you recommend using them? If so, how?
Yeah, I think they're beneficial. I would recommend using them. I would just not limit your search to only using them. So I would make sure that you're using other resources as well. I think, again, friends and just like LinkedIn connections can be almost the most valuable at times, right? To just help kind of guide the salary, guide the path. But I would reference them, you know, a couple times a week, especially if you're in the job search, and make sure that you're applying for what's out there. And you can use Glassdoor to look at salary recommendations as well.
Cool. How important would you say something like grad school is right now in necessarily the job market or whatever it may be? Of course, I feel like you're going to say, you know, it depends job to job.
I think it depends on the job. It depends on the person. I don't know that grad school today is more important than grad school was 6 months ago. I have heard, I'm sure you have heard too, about a lot of people that are using this time to go back to school. And I think that's wonderful. Anything to professionally enhance yourself, right? But I would say that it's up to the person, it's up to the job, it's up to the circumstance.
Cool. Oh, so many questions about this. Like people who are feeling like they're unsure if they're in the quote right career. Obviously there's no concrete answer like, oh, you know, these five steps and you know you're in the right career. But what would you say to someone who's kind of questioning that and like a sense
I would say that something that I've learned over the past couple of years is this sounds simple, but it's go with your gut. And that's something that, again, I think I used to, whenever I would question things, I used to think of it like I was really not confident or insecure. But what it really was I had a gut instinct about something and I needed to listen to it, right? It wasn't an insecurity. It was actually a superpower in a way, right? And we all have our own gut instincts about things. And if you're questioning the career path, my gut is that your gut is telling you to go do something else. And so I would encourage all of those people to set up informational interviews with friends and family members who are in jobs, at companies, on a career path that sounds interesting to you, and just talk to them, not only about how they got started, but about what their job consists of from a day to day, and look for the click, like look for something that really inspires you.
Awesome. Another really big question here is focus on like, it's just like this or that kind of, should you be focusing on making money or what you're really interested in? So many people have this question and I feel like I would
say that this generation, right, is focused on what they're interested in. I would say the previous generation, probably my generation, right, which is millennials, were focused on money. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's shifted, right, to money to passion.
Yeah, definitely. And is it normal to kind of bounce around two different companies slash roles in your 20s? I know we kind of discussed like, you know.
Yeah, it's very common. Yeah, super common to bounce around. And I think that's fine as long as you're doing it in sort of a polite, courteous, consistent manner. But absolutely, people go from job to job. A lot of times you hear that it can be really hard to get promoted at the job where you like at your first job after college. So a lot of people feel like in order to really get promoted or to really get that significant salary increase, they have to leave the company that they started at. And again, it's not true for everybody, but you hear that a lot.
Yeah, definitely. And last but not least, so many people ask this one, how do you answer the what are your weaknesses question?
Oh, everybody says that, you know, I used to have, just as the intern queen, I used to have some really like scripted, slick responses here. Like, you know, what everybody says, like, well, I'm too much of a perfectionist. Yeah. Da-da-da-da-da. I would actually say that I think nowadays you can really lean into your vulnerabilities. And I think companies want to hire people that are really self-aware and really authentic. And it's okay to not be so perfectly tied together at any point. I think this whole work from home culture really shows us that it's okay to not be perfect all the time. So I would actually think about something that you messed up and, you know, without going off the deep end about it, I would think about a mistake that you made and I would try to, you know, again, you don't need to go into all the details, but can you high level that mistake and talk about what you learned from it and how that mistake is actually helping you, you know, as you move forward in your career path? So I think it's okay to be sort of authentic and vulnerable in those conversations and end them on a positive note.
Yeah. Great point there. And that's really all that I have for you, Lauren. So I want you to plug yourself. You know, I mean, you gave a lot of great resources, like with your website and everything, but what have you been working on? Let's hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that everything seems to be on Instagram nowadays, right? So I feel like everything that we're doing, like Instagram almost feels like the hub in some ways more than the website, which is so crazy. But so follow us on Instagram. If you're in college, it's at Intern Queen. If you've just graduated, it's at Official Career Queen. And then my personal is just at Official Lauren Berger. We have internqueen.com and careerqueen.com, which are full of free resources to help you get from point A to point B. And then I have an internship book out, a career book out, and then my most recent book is called Get It Together. So if you just go to Amazon and type in Lauren Berger, you'll find all the books. And they're all over our sites and all of that too. And we do a lot of paid college ambassador programs for a lot of really cool brands. And then we also post a lot of awesome paid internships. So if anybody's interested in those opportunities, just shoot us a DM on at Intern Queen. That's probably the easiest way. Mm-hmm. And we'll send you a link to our database. We'll get you set up. But if you're feeling like you don't have a personal connection, you don't have that person rooting for you on your career path, let me be your person. I'm here. That. So happy to help.
I actually have a question with the ambassadorships.
Yeah.
I know people that have done them through you. So are they mostly social media based, or are those things that are kind of on campus, I guess?
Right. So
right now, but
yeah, so they used to be, I would say they used to be a little bit more of a mix of like on campus stuff and social media stuff. Right now it's super heavy with social media programs, but we're also doing a lot of cool virtual events. So a lot of our programs kind of encompass, you know, maybe a TikTok post or an Instagram post or a YouTube post, but then it's also working with like 10 other students to host a virtual event. So we're doing, so a lot of different things right now to kind of make the most of the moment. But yeah, a lot of cool brands, and they're all paid programs now. So everyone that does an Intern Queen program gets paid. Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for being here. And I hope that you guys got some good info from this. I know I certainly did.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Brooke. Always a fan.
Bye.